The following audio is from Living Faith Missionary Church. More information about Living Faith can be found at www.livingfaithmc.info.
Well, as we have this first slide pop up, your first thought might be, okay, wait a minute, what? Did I mess up? Is it today? Is today Father's Day? No. Just a little reminder that next week is, in fact, Father's Day, in case you had missed it. And I'm really honored that I get to be with you here this week and next week as well, and get to celebrate fathers in that way. And I am a very fortunate man because I have had two great father figures in my life, two men who've served in that fatherly capacity for me, my biological father, Ed Horstman, who has gone on to heaven, and my father-in-law, Mark Henshaw. And I want to share just a little bit about how they've been a faithful father. This week I just shared just a little picture of my father-in-law and how he's been such a faithful father. And next week I want to share a little bit about my dad. But Mark Henshaw is Linda's dad, and he has been a faithful father to me from the time I entered into their family. You see, from the beginning, when I first came and became a part of the family, he let everyone know that I was not merely his son-in-law, but that he was accepting me as a son and treated me that way in every aspect. Not just in words, not just saying that, but in the way he acted and the way he treated me, he let me know that I was indeed his son. And one of the greatest blessings that I had as a young pastor when I first started pastoring was that I had a mentor father who was also a pastor. It was an incredible thing. And for the first time that, first opportunity I got to preach a sermon, he gave me that opportunity in his church on a Sunday morning. And that was quite an honor. And when I accepted my call to senior pastor a first church, the first church that I was senior pastor of, a cool thing that I had was that I knew that at any situation that I was in, anything that was going on, that I could call him and I could ask him about it. And generally I would get this little chuckle and he would say, yep, I understand. I've been there too. You're not alone in this. And that he would give me encouragement and insights as a pastor and as his son. When I was ordained in the church, he was standing over me with his hand on my shoulder, praying God's blessing upon me. He has been a faithful father to me. And so Jesus gave us a parable and taught us in parables, and he taught us this parable about a faithful father. Now, often we call this parable that I'm going to share with you today the parable of the prodigal son or the parable of the lost son, but I really see it more as a parable of the faithful father. So today I'm going to concentrate on the first part of this parable, and it is the faithful father in his relationship with the prodigal son. And then next week on Father's Day, I'm going to conclude and talk about the faithful father to the oldest son. Listen to the word of the Lord from Luke 15, verses 11 through 23. And Jesus continued as he was saying this parable. He said, there was a man who had two sons. The younger son said to his father, Father, give me my share of the estate. So he divided his property between them. And not long after that, the younger son got together all he had, set off for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in that whole country, and he began to be in need. Go figure. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country who sent him into the fields to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. When he came to his senses, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have food to spare, and here I am starving to death? I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. make me like one of your hired servants. So he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, the father saw him and was filled with compassion for him and ran to his son, threw his arms around him and kissed him. The son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger, sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast to celebrate. For the son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is now found. So they began to celebrate. How many of us know a lost child or have in fact been a lost child? It's really interesting to note as we look at this parable and we use the word prodigal. Prodigal does not necessarily mean what we've traditionally thought prodigal means. The definition of prodigal actually is a person who spends money recklessly and in an extravagant way. And we definitely see that that happened in this parable that Jesus gave. The son, this lost son, demanded his inheritance from his father. And his father was still alive, but he demanded his inheritance so he could go off on his own and spend money on whatever he wanted to. Jesus says he spent his money on wild living. Now, can you kind of imagine what wild living probably meant? We could conjure up a lot of things, maybe including, if we kind of do it in a satirical way, wine, women, and song. But so many different things that he could have just squandered his money on. But it was definite that it was reckless and it was extravagant because he blew through his whole inheritance, spent all the money that he had gotten from his father. And so this child, this son, becomes lost in so many ways. You see, he had lost his family because of his own behavior. He had lost his wealth or his money because of the way he spent it, because of his bad choices in that. And he had come to the point that he had lost his pride. He took a job feeding pigs, which in the Jewish culture, there are not too many lower jobs that you can get than feeding pigs. And he lost that pride because he just hoped that maybe he could even eat some of what the pigs were eating. That's bad news. And he had all but lost all hope. And when he was thinking about all this, he came to realize he had only one hope in his life. His only hope that he could think about was that he might swallow his pride and go to his father and beg for his father just to treat him like a servant, just to hire him on as a hired worker in the fields. And that's really kind of the outline of the parable for the prodigal son, his part of the story. But instead of focusing on the son, I really want to highlight the way the father was faithful in this story. The father in the story, of course, Jesus is pointing to God and pointing out how he is our faithful father. So I want us to look at four different ways that the father was faithful to the son and how God is faithful to us as well. First, we see that the father was faithful as he allowed his son to choose his own way. The father was faithful and allowed the son to choose his own way. The father wasn't demanding or he wasn't overbearing. He didn't beat his son into submission or anything like that. He allowed his son to make choices. And you know what? We don't like the choices that the son made, do we? We look at this and we think, what a selfish brat. We look at him and we say, this guy was so disrespectful. And you know what? He was. He was. You see, he was so disrespectful and he made just some bad choices. Because you see, when we think about what happened, the son totally disses his father in this story. He gives complete disrespect to the father. You see, the father had given him everything. And when he come and asked for his inheritance, you have to realize what that means. The son was basically coming to his father and saying, you know what? I don't care about you. Matter of fact, I wish you were dead so that I could get my money. So why don't you just pretend that you're dead and give me my money now anyways? And then I can be off doing what I want to do. He totally disrespected all that his father had provided for him. And the amazing thing is, all that he was demanding belonged to the father. It was all the father's. The father had no obligation to break up this inheritance and give it to the son. He's a second son. He wasn't even first in line. He had no obligation in that at all. The father owned it all. But he gave it to his son. And then the son ignored the father's way of doing things. Now, if you look at the picture of what's going on here, the way the father did things worked. He had a prosperous farm and household. Things worked well. But the son thought he knew a better way. He wanted to do things his own way. He wanted to go out and have fun and not work so hard and do it the way he wanted to do it. You know what? The faithful father allowed him to make that decision. Now, does that sound familiar to any of you? It sounded familiar to me. It's just amazing how that works. That when we think about God and what he has done for us, God has allowed us to go our own way too. God is not overbearing and demanding. When we look at it and we think about all that we have, we also recognize that God is the one who blessed us with all of it. Everything we have has been blessed to us by God. Everything we have comes from him. And he is so faithful. Even though God has blessed us with everything, he allows us to choose how we're going to use it. You see, when we look at all the things, all the ways God has blessed us, what we usually think about is our own stuff. And that's how we tend to think of the blessings that we have. Our stuff. Our things. Our abilities. We think that it all belongs to us. My car. My house. My job. My money. So we use it the way we want to use it. We all do it our own way. And actually Isaiah said in Isaiah 53 verse 6, we all like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to our own way. So instead of recognizing the faithfulness of our Heavenly Father, we tend to think we know a better way to do things. We think we've earned our own way. We fail to realize that not only has God blessed us with all that we have, God has also blessed us with the talents that we have. God has blessed us with the abilities that we have. God has blessed us with the health that we have. God has blessed us with life itself. Without him, we have nothing. Without him, we can do nothing. And that's pretty much the way Jesus said it in John 15 verse 5. He said, apart from me, you can do nothing. Yet each of us, like sheep, have all gone astray. Each of us have done what we've wanted to do. And God is faithful in that he allows us to choose our way, just as he, the faithful father, allowed his son to choose his way. Now, the second thing we see in this story is the faithful father looked for his son to return. He looked for his son to return. Jesus said that the son decided to make his way home. But it was real interesting to point out that Jesus says that while he was still a long way off, the father saw him and ran to him. Now, in my mind's eye, if I'm thinking that the father saw him while he was a long way off, that means the father was looking for him. And almost the way that I picture it is, even though there are things going on at the farm and then in the household there, the father would regularly come out to the porch and look down the road that he saw his son walk off on and look expectantly, hoping that he would see his son return. And that is what he did as a faithful father. He looked longingly, hoping to see his son return. He longed for his son to come home and that he could welcome him home. My friends, likewise, God is our faithful father. God longs for each of us to come home to him. He stands on the porch of heaven and he looks out down that road, wanting each and every one of us to take those steps to come home to him. Peter reminds us of this in 2 Peter 3:9 when he says, "The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance." You see, if you're like me, sometimes as we look at this world today and we look at the mess some of the things are in, we start to think, well, it's time for judgment. Only thing that's going to pull this world out of the mess that it's in is judgment. And I kind of get like the sons of thunder. You remember James and John? Do you remember what they did, what they wanted to do when the town dissed Jesus? Do you remember what they said? They came and said, "Lord, why don't we just call down fire upon this town and destroy it?" That's what they wanted to do. And I feel like that sometimes. I think of places, and I actually wrote a couple of them down, but I'm not going to list the names of some cities that I think that we might be, I was going to say enjoyable, but that might be too strong of a word. But to pull down fire from heaven and eradicate some of the wickedness in this world. We think that's what it deserves. That might be the only thing that would be good to happen out of this. But God, instead, is a faithful father. He is patient with us. He wants to see each and every person come home. He wants to see them come back to him. So when I think about calling down fire upon the world or asking God to move judgment quicker, causes me to pause for a moment and think, what if judgment came upon the earth the day before I made my way back to God? What if judgment came the day before an army chaplain led me to faith in Jesus and I accepted him as my Savior? I think the Father is faithful in having that patience to look for us and want us to come home to him. He longs for each person to come home in repentance. God is the faithful father who looks down the road and wants us to take those steps to come back home. Now, the third thing that I see in this parable of the faithful father is the faithful father gave grace and accepted his son. You see, the son came home and he humbled himself, right? That was his goal. He understood that he did not deserve to be called a son any longer. He had squandered that. He had demanded his inheritance. He had blown it all. He had disrespected his father. He knew that he did not deserve it. So as he swallowed his pride and came home, he hoped that the Father would merely accept him as a servant, as a hired hand, so he could go out into the fields to work and not starve to death. Instead, we see a picture of a faithful father. Instead of treating his son with contempt, instead of telling his son what a great disappointment he was to him, the father gives grace. Do you know what grace means? Grace means unmerited favor. Unearned favor or regard. It means there was nothing that he could do to earn it. It means something good happening to you that you don't deserve. And the son did not deserve to be accepted by his father. He had told his father, "I wish you were dead." He did not deserve to be accepted as a son. But the father gave grace. He ran to his son. Even before his son could finish his humbling speech about wanting to just be a servant, the father hugs him, puts the robe around him, puts a ring on his finger, sandals on his feet, calls for a feast. He reinstates his son as a full heir. He indeed was a faithful father. And you see, our God is also a faithful Father who gives us His grace. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9 says, "For it is by grace that you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourself. It is a gift of God. It's not by works, so that no one can boast." Friends, do you realize that we don't deserve the gift of salvation? We don't deserve it. We do not deserve to have our sins forgiven any more than the prodigal son deserved to have his actions forgiven by his father. But that's what grace means. Unmerited favor. It means that although we don't deserve it, although there's nothing we can do to earn it, God chooses to give us a gift of his grace and love. A gift of salvation. We can't do anything to be worthy of it. Just as the son could do nothing to be worthy of his father's forgiveness. You see, the son couldn't brag about how well he did out on his own. He blew all his inheritance. He could not boast about how he had come home a success because he had squandered everything. Best he could hope for is to be a servant. And we have done nothing to earn God's forgiveness. We cannot boast about how perfect we are. We cannot brag about how great we have done things and how much we deserve all that God has to offer. No. Instead, we receive a free gift from God. His grace, His love, His forgiveness. And our God is also a faithful Father who then calls us His children. 1 John 3 verse 1 says, "See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God," and that's what we are. God does not merely call us His servants, although that's the best we could possibly hope for on our own. God instead has poured His love out to us. He has come to us just as the Father ran to His Son. He lavished His love upon us just as the Father did for His Son in the story. And then God calls us His children, just as the faithful Father did for His Son. And finally, we see in the story that the faithful Father celebrated His Son's return. He threw a party. He threw a party. His son comes home and he has the fattened calf killed so that they can cook it and have a great feast. He wanted everybody to know, "My lost son is home. He was dead and now he's alive. He was lost and now he is found. My son has come home. Let us celebrate that." Do you realize that God is our faithful Father and celebrates our salvation? God celebrates our salvation. Jesus said in Luke 15 verse 7, I tell you that in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who did not need to repent. Do you realize what that means? The day that you said yes to Jesus, they threw a party in heaven for you. In your name, in your honor, they celebrated that you came to Christ. And if you have not taken that step to Christ in your life yet, the decorations are ready. They have it all prepared. They are ready to celebrate in heaven the day each and every person comes home. The day you say yes to Jesus, they will celebrate in heaven. God is so happy that He calls you home and He celebrates that. What a cool move for our faithful Father. Now, although we call this parable the prodigal son, the hero of the story is the faithful father. The prodigal son receives his grace, but the hero is the faithful father. And when we recognize that God is the faithful father in the story, well, we're called to make a response. Did you know scripture is not just there for us to read and enjoy and think, well, that was a good story? Scripture calls for a response, that we are to respond to what God's word says. James says to us, do not merely listen to the word, do what it says. We must respond to God's word. So how do we do that? How do we apply this scripture to our lives? And I think as disciples of Christ, as followers of Jesus, there are at least four things here that I think we need to do, that we can do in response to what God has given us here. The first thing I think we must do is we must recognize God's blessings in our life. We need to recognize the way God has blessed us. Paul said in Ephesians 1 verse 3, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. You see, we need to look at our lives and we need to see all the blessings that we have there. It's like the old song that many of us, some of us remember, that count your blessings. Count your blessings. Name them one by one. Then you will see what the Lord has done. And that's something that we need to do. And we don't regularly do that. What we tend to do is count our distractions. Or count our struggles. Or count our things that go wrong in our life. Instead, we should count our blessings and name them out loud to each other. I think if the younger son had stopped and counted the blessings that he had in his faithful father's home, he would have never left home. And that's what we need to do, is recognize God's blessings, name them, count them out. I want to challenge you. I challenge you today, maybe at lunch with your family, to stop for a moment and say, okay, let's count some blessings. What ways has God blessed us this week? And count the blessings. Name them one by one. Then we will see how faithful the Father has been to us. Count your blessings and name them. Second thing I think we can do is that we need to receive God's grace and become His child. Galatians 3 verse 26 and 27 says, so in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. For all of you were baptized into Christ, have clothed yourselves with Christ. When we are faced with the grace of God, the free gift of His love, His forgiveness, His salvation, when we see that that is offered to us, it demands a response. And there are only two responses to God's grace. You might think there might be more, but there are only two responses to the grace that God offers to you. The first response is to accept His grace and choose by faith to become a child of God, to accept His forgiveness in your life and to receive His salvation. That's one choice. Do you know what the other choice is? To reject it. To say, I don't need your grace, your love, or your salvation. Those are really the only two choices we have when we are faced with the grace of God in our lives. What decision will you make? What decision have you made? Those are the only two choices we have in that matter. We should receive God's grace and become His child. And the third thing I think we need to do then is we must celebrate salvation. Psalm 35 verse 9 says, "Then my soul will rejoice in the Lord and delight in His salvation." Just as God celebrates when each and every one of us comes to that point of accepting His grace in our lives, we need to celebrate our salvation as well. And not only our personal salvation, we need to celebrate each and every salvation. Each person that comes to know Christ, we need to celebrate. We need to rejoice in the Lord. We need to rejoice regularly in our own salvation. And you know how we do that? You tell the story. You tell the story to others of what God has done in your life. I encourage you to do that with your family. Maybe your family knows your story. So, tell it again. Just ask my wife. I will tell the same story 5 or 6 or 10 times over and over again. It's okay. Your children need to hear your story of God's salvation in your life. Your spouse needs to hear your story of God's salvation in your life and to celebrate it together. And when your children hear that story, they can be encouraged to call upon their own story. And if they don't have that story, they may say, Dad, how do I get saved then? How can we celebrate me coming to know Jesus? We need to celebrate that. So I want to encourage you, tell your story to your family. Start with your family, but don't stop there. So if the prodigal son were telling his story today, he might come and say, you know, I thought I had it all figured out. I thought I could do better than what my father had done before me. So I ditched my family and went my own way. And when I recognized it was all falling apart, I decided to crawl back, but you know what? My father wouldn't have any of that. He stood me up. He hugged me and loved me, and he accepted me as his son. It was great. For me, I would say to you guys, I grew up in a very moral but self-sufficient family. That the teaching in my family said, you better look out for yourself because nobody else is going to do it. Pull yourself up by your own bootstraps. If you don't do it, nobody will. And I came from a good, strong family that way. And I kind of lived just to have fun and do things my own way in my life. And then I was faced directly with my own mortality and that I had friends who committed suicide. And I had two friends who died in a motorcycle wreck. And I thought, I'm no different than they are. Is this all that there is in life? And it was then that an army chaplain led me to the Lord and said, God's grace is here for you. He loves you and there is abundant life here and eternal life in heaven in store for you. I celebrate that. And each one of us should celebrate our faith. We should celebrate the salvation that God has given to us and that we should share it with each other. That we need to rejoice in the Lord and delight in His salvation. And then finally, we must learn and follow God's way. Learn and follow God's way in our life. Our faithful Father shares with us a righteous way to live. Paul said in Ephesians 4 verse 1, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. You see, the greatest way to thank God for being our faithful Father is to live a life that is worthy of His call home. Again, I want to remind you, we cannot earn our salvation. We cannot be good enough to pay God back for what He has done for us. But we can respond to God's grace and love by following Him in all that we do. We need to look into God's Word and see what it says and understand the directions that He gives us for our life. And then we need to apply that Word to our daily life. Not just our Sunday morning life. Not just our devotions after dinner life. But to our whole life. Our going to work life. Our relationship life. All of the life around us. We need to look at God's Word and understand His direction and rely on His grace and follow Him with our whole life. Friends, the hero of the story today is God. He is our faithful Father. In the parable, Jesus showed how we might discount God and we might do things our own way. But God remains the faithful Father. He allows us to choose, but He offers us His grace and forgiveness and celebrates when we come home. We respond by counting our blessings, receiving His grace, celebrating our salvations, and following Jesus in all that we do. Let me pray for you guys, and then we're going to sing together to close. Heavenly Father, we do love You and praise You. What an incredible, incredible parable that You gave us concerning what it looks like to have a faithful Father. Lord, I know as we think today, some of us are very encouraged because we had faithful fathers and we know what that looks like. Some of us may never have had the example of a faithful Father in our flesh, in our human upbringing. But Lord, You have said regardless that You are the standard of what it means to be a faithful Father. If we had a Father that pointed us towards You, we rejoice in saying that they were following Your example. If we did not see that example, we can rejoice in saying that God is my faithful Father. I've tested the DNA. I'm a child of God. Lord, we thank You for Your faithfulness to us. And we ask that You do help us to respond, not only just today, but yesterday, and counting our blessings and celebrating our salvation, but every day as we follow You and share You with those around us. We love You and praise You in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this message from Living Faith Missionary Church, located in Yoder, Indiana. Feel free to share this recording with others, but please do not charge for those copies or make changes to the content without our permission. For more information about Living Faith online, go to www.livingfaithmc.info.